There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, put your mittens on your kittens, and here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday edition of the show. Get in touch, pretty darn easy, 343-0106. With those seven digits, the world unlocks. You can get a text through and a phone call, both on the same number. Isn't that convenient? 343-0106. Plus, with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can always leave us a talk back message. We'll talk more about that later. Of course, the government shut down. Y'all feeling it? Okay, you're not? Okay. Just seeing if you're feeling it right now as we're in the hour first day here of government shutdown. And we'll talk more about that coming up in just a little bit. Cameron Smith is going to join us also later on the show. John Sharp and Pete DeMarco coming up in the show. But as we get started here, let me float this out. So we will talk about the government shutdown. But before they shut down, our government was fat. Well, okay. Our military was fat. At least that was. Remember this meeting that was slated for yesterday, and we started talking about last week, and I said, wow, this seems like something out of a Bond movie here where you would have all the top generals and admirals being in one place, right? It sounds like, you know, in a Bond movie, they're like, aha, I've got them now. And so it ends up being about some changes in the military, and we could talk about the woke stuff. But the fatty boom balati clause I thought was interesting yesterday as now – it's not SecDef. WarSec. Pete Hegseth had this to say.
I'm also directing that warfighters in combat jobs execute their service fitness test at a gender-neutral, age-normed male standard scored above 70%. Frankly, it's tiring to look out at combat formations, or really any formation, and see fat troops. Likewise, it's completely unacceptable to see fat generals and admirals in the halls of the Pentagon and leading commands around the country and the world.
Okay, so although that does open up a chance for having these specific fat troops out there. But I did start thinking after hearing this, and we talk about, we can go back and, you know, fatties in the military. But like, I mean, Civil War McClellan, who needed to be gone anyway? He was always eating in Meade. But Winfield Scott, and then you can go through. I started thinking, where would we be? And maybe this has been the change. Actually, let me do this right now. Let me bring on my friend. I think I see him there. Cameron Smith, you know him from the world of writing and editorials, the music from Wasted Bacon, and his exploits as a dad and Bama fan as well, which, by the way, second here. We'll get to the stuff here. Cameron, what a performance. What a performance by the Tide.
Yeah. I don't have words. I mean, I got emotional when I saw Caden Proctor rumbling there. I cried a little. It was wonderful. I mean, it was just a glorious beating of the dogs, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, and we haven't gotten to talk since the game, but we'll probably talk later and gloat. It was a good thing. Okay, you know, like the odd man out. I was saying this in the halls this morning. The odd man out in military movies in the past would be the fat guy, right? It was John Candy's character in Stripes. A Private Pile, right, in Full Metal Jacket. You can go back to, you would have, like, the one fat guy, right? That was, it was almost like a cliche in a movie, right? We're going to boot camp, and there's one fatty, and we got to get him skinny, right? Now, I don't know if now it's just like one skinny guy, and everybody else is corpulent in this or whatever, but Hegseth says he's done with it.
Yeah, I've talked to several military families who were understandably a little concerned about, well, what would this meeting be? Why would you bring all those people and undergo all the expense to get them all in one place? And I think the issue here is just those families have had concerns about the standards and said, mm-hmm. Hey, if we're going to have standards, we need to enforce them. The ones I talked to just said, hey, we don't want a gotcha. And this wasn't a gotcha. It was, we're going to do this. You got time to get your tails in shape. But we expect that we have standards and those standards are met. And I think that's a reasonable thing. It's part of the job, being in the military. And the idea that we just sort of ignore a known standard in that context is a problem, especially for those members of the military that adhere to it, particularly those who have been in the service a very long time and have adhered to it for a very long time.
Yeah, well, they have, and I agree with that. The idea of, like, setting that standard. I mean, you know, folks I know that are active or retired military, even the retired ones, are, like, they keep themselves up in shape, and that's part of what they, you know, like when I go shooting with them, I'm like, y'all are really good at this because you did this for a living and staying in shape so you could hump, you know, for, 10 miles, 15 miles, 25 miles is part of staying alive. So y'all are good at that. But that's what I want. I mean, if I say, hey, so-and-so's son enlisted in the Marine Corps, or they're in the Army, or they're in the Navy, or, you know, they're in the Air Force, I would go, oh, okay, due respect for that person. They are you know, they're above the average American.
Yeah, and I mean, with all due respect to the rest of us, like, we probably need to be less fat too. I noticed that, you know, my boys and I went caving. We were outside all the time, and there was this squeeze in this cave, and I'm talking, it was like, you know, 10 inches, and it was a crawl for about 15 yards between two slabs of limestone, and I literally, over the course of a year, lost about 30 pounds just so I could go through it with my boys. And it makes me think, hey, you know what? If I got folks in the military that have to do that kind of stuff in combat situations in particular, they need to be physically fit to do those things, because this isn't just rely on your weapons and technology. A lot of times in those contexts, your physical capacity matters deeply. And sure, a general or somebody who's been in the service and may not be on the front lines directly, it may be easy to say, well, we value them for other things, but a age adjusted standard that says, hey, you know what, you may be in a different role, you may not be immediately in combat, but yeah, there's a standard and you got to meet it, I think is wholly appropriate.
Yeah, listen, I'm the son of a flight attendant that was doing it for so long that she was back in the days that they weighed them. They had to have, I mean, and they were just on an airplane, not, you know, attacking enemies. So we'll see where this goes. But I can imagine that the nice thing, too, I think, that Dan and Dalton talked about this morning, I think this is relevant, is why didn't you just do a Zoom call? And, you know, we're going to go ham as fiscal conservatives here in just a second. But I did like this, because if you Zoom called it or sent a memo out, it all could be spun. Right. I mean, they could come back and spin it this way or the other when everybody's in the same place and heard the same message. Not that they could disagree, but it takes the spin factor out of it, I think, with people reporting it differently. I mean, they all heard the same speech. You know, everybody was there, called everybody in the same room. Here it is, y'all.
Well, I think it's more than even the spin factor. I mean, somebody could have recorded the call, I guess, and so there wouldn't be much spin. But I'll tell you what, when you're all physically in one place and you're looking around the room, you can see who's the fatty real quick, right?
And they hand out the fatty Boombalatti award.
Yeah, well, I mean, the bottom line is this is like those Alaskan bears that they figure out who's the chunkiest before winter.
Which, by the way, I think Chunk is winning right now. I think he's won
Chunk
it.
Yeah, 30. Yeah, one, Chunk 32. I'm very excited about this. But, you know, when you can look around the room at the command structure and see who's adhered to those standards and who hasn't, it creates some peer pressure. And I get why, and I respect that. I mean, is it fiscally conservative? No. But do I understand the reason why you might do it? Sure.
Yeah, sometimes it's worth spending the money. All right, speaking of money, they couldn't agree on how to spend it so much, so we're in a government shutdown. And I saw that on Twitter you had found the same Thomas Massie tweet as I had. That was it was telling here, y'all, that what ended up becoming this stalemate here that led us into a government shutdown is a Republican CR here that, like Thomas Massie said, was just a continuation of Biden's budget, including DOGE-identified waste. So the what the Republicans were talking about was basically Biden spending. And the Democrats that won't vote for it aren't voting for what they voted yes for when Biden was in the White House, right? Am I getting that right? I mean, that sounds accurate.
Yeah, well, if you look at, again, I'm a nerd that looks at spending numbers. Spending last year was up 7% year over year from Washington. So all the sound and fury about DOGE and all the things that they were going to cut, they actually spent more than the last year under the Biden administration. So I don't know. I don't know where we are. I don't know why we keep saying that, like, not conservative is the baseline. And the question is, how not conservative will we be? And I'm lost on this one, because if we're shutting down the government to ultimately pay furloughed employees for a vacation, which is what we always do, I'm not here for it. I think it's dumb.
Did you see, the story was last week, and so it was paraphrase time here, but it was, I think, the GSA bringing back all these people that had been let go by DOGE and ended up spending, in other words, the DOGE cuts, and I knew it because I was so excited about DOGE, you know, too good to be true. It turned out it was too good to be true. Those people were being put back into their jobs and being paid back pay, and then you had legal fees and all that. Did you see that?
Yeah, this is what happens. I mean, people think government shutdown and they're like, well, let's shut it down. You know, the longest shutdown, I think, is like 35 days. That's the longest on record, and I believe it was during the prior Trump administration. And guess what? Everybody comes back to work. Everybody gets paid. We continue. And that, to me, is silliness. It is one thing to shut down the government. It is another thing to decide you want to not spend the money. You know, this idea, no one has ever credibly explained to me how we have non-essential federal employees that we like turn on and off when we do these shutdowns. Like, why in the world, if you classify somebody as non-essential, like maybe we just don't need to do that function and we should stop. But, you know, that's a lot of work. So we just don't do it.
You know, and look at this, too. You get in these the shutdowns, so they don't save the money, but they do. They are a political bludgeon, right? So whose responsibility is it? I think what Massie was saying there, I mean, he was taking the Republicans to task for not having a CR that was leaner, and I 100% agree. At the same time, the Democrats that are not voting for this, they're not voting for spending levels they had voted for before. And so, you know, it's being said that because of the funding for illegal alien health care is why this thing has met, you know, the no from the Democrats. It's truly, so I would turn around and say the Democrats aren't voting for the money spending that they had voted for before, right? I mean, this is, once again, they're saying no, it's not like this is a lean CR.
No, it is not a lean CR, and you are correct that this was prior spending, but Democrats have been, and I think it's easy to get, you know, caught in the red herring of, well, it's this specific spending provision. No, Democrats have been really clear. They just want to spend more. Like, whatever the number is, add more. And it's for good things, things they like. You know, we can disagree with it, but they're always more. And what's happened over time is Democrats drag and drag and drag. And what Republicans end up saying is, well, we got a clean CR, so we're conservative. Well, no, you didn't. You just actually continued the Biden era spending levels. And that's the kind of thing where if the compromise position is more spending, then we're just losing by degrees.
Yeah. And once again, the thing that fiscal conservatives hold out for every time, the football continues to be pulled away. The DOGE thing is, I don't know. I mean, Trump had said, hey, you know, we do this shutdown, we could be making these cuts and they could be permanent in there. Even Trump, I don't know if they will. Maybe they find something out. You worked up there. But is it just impossible to ever get the penny plan through or right size our spend? Just a little bit. Just not asking for draconian cuts, which is what we will face here in a decade or two. But just save a little money on the edges here and make a difference.
Yeah, I mean, there's the Wyden Gregg plan years ago. You talked about the sequester. Mm-hmm. I mean, you remember all of these words. And basically, the biggest, most aggressive efforts we've had haven't moved the needle. And the reason why is it's always easier to kick the can. And so Republicans will, if they get a clean CR, which again is Biden-level spending, they will crow about winning. They will say, hey, we are fiscally conservative. We stop spending on these absolutely stupid things. And meanwhile, Democrats will say, you know what? We maintain current spending levels. So great work, guys. And then we just keep on doing it. And we just don't have good leaders. I mean, that's the truth.
All right. To wrap up on this one here, it is the news of the week for sure. And I've been texting with them trying to figure out if this is really going to happen or not. But the fact that, does it say how popular Paul Feinbaum might be, or does it say how uninterested people are in, you know, Barry Moore, Steve Marshall, that Paul Feinbaum mentions he might be interested in the Senate job and he owns the news cycle?
Well, I'll tell you what, Paul Feinbaum has been dealing with weirdos with a level head for a long time, so he would make a fantastic senator. I've interacted with him occasionally over the years. Occasionally he reads some of my columns. It's kind of fun. He's a great guy, and I think he would really bring something different to the table. And frankly, that's what most voters want, is they're tired of, oh, cool, political talking point. Tell me more about how you're just this same thing. In races around the country, it's hard to differentiate between candidates right now because nobody actually says anything different or useful.
Yeah.
And that's where we are. I think Feinbaum would be fantastic, and I think he fits the mold of what a current politician needs to be, part entertainer and part legislator. And I think he could do both quite well.
Yeah, I want to start a trend going the other way, and we'll figure out which members of like our federal delegation should, upon retiring, go coach a football program.
Look, my money's always going to be on Katie Britt. I mean, I think she'd whip people into shape. You got to see when she is married to somebody that much larger than she is, and she can be like, let's go. I mean, she could handle coaching a football team. I think it could happen.
Well said. All right, people want to go to the Tennessean and read your editorial pieces. Also, Wasted Bacon. Where do they find Wasted Bacon?
Anywhere you stream music, come check it out. I'm actually about to drop some more. Having a lot of fun with this, and those of y'all who have listened, have just made all the difference in the world, and I really appreciate it.
I'm waiting for our collab on that. So just, when I do a kazoo, electric and acoustic kazoo, so I can help out if you need a session musician.
Kazoo, I could really use. That's been lacking in a lot of my tracks.
Okay, let's do that. And, you mentioned last week, but I want folks, seriously, this is a movie my son and I watched together. You're looking for a movie that the kids will enjoy, that is also a good message to them, and won't put the adults to sleep. You've got a movie for them streaming right now.
Yeah, go check out The Ballad of Davy Crockett if you want to see somebody split a musket ball with a tomahawk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, does it get better than that? I don't know. But to those of you who have watched it, thank you so much. To those of you who haven't, you really should. So go check it out.
Good stuff. As always, brother, I enjoy our conversations. We'll talk soon, and roll tide.
Roll tide.
There he goes, Cameron Smith, and we'll be right back. More Midday Mobile. What if we had a Fat Generals contest, like they had the Fat Bear contest? Then we'd be onto something.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:26, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Maybe this is getting some traction here. They have fun. Like the Fat Bear contest is so popular. Those bears up in Alaska. I think the winner is coming out of the Katmai. That are chunking up on salmon. Maybe the fattest, go through the group of generals and admirals that were there yesterday and have the fat. It'd be a good marketing thing. All right. To the text line here. Okay, yeah, Jerry in Fort Morgan said, General Forrest wasn't far, and he was always in front of his troops. I don't know. All we've seen is paintings, right? So I didn't know he was a fatty. Did they have to replace his horse every mile? let's see. Other DEI texter. Here we go. What about the fattest commander in chief since Taft? Is Trump the fattest since Taft? DEI texter, it amuses me about Taft because that was, my mother would always bring up Taft at the dinner table. Talk about, somehow she'd talk about Taft. But once again, we're not asking, the president doesn't have to be in the top physical form, right? Let's talk about the people. So I don't know. I think that's a little bit of a non sequitur, but I read it because you mentioned Taft and it makes me laugh. Let's see. Hal says General Groves, who was in charge of the Manhattan Project, was a fat guy. Was he fat or fatty boombalatty? But, you know, if you're in charge of the Manhattan Project, you're not, you could still, I mean, if Von Braun, you know, I think he was skinny, but he's also a Nazi, you know, could do things for the U.S. I don't know. Maybe I'm talking more tip of the spear people here. David said, we could all be a little less fat. Why is Cameron picking on me? Hey, Cameron's picking on both. I mean, he was. He lost like 30 pounds this year, and I'm sick about it. I'm happy for him, but, you know, I've been trying to accomplish that here for years. Terry said, I've always advocated that physical fitness testing should mask the task you have to accomplish. I have no problem with basic standards to be in the Army and increase physical fitness standards for more demanding jobs. Michael says, my argument is that the R's are the tortoise and the D's are the hare. Both are taking us up to the same financial ruin at the finish line. The only question is who's going to get us there first. To some degree, I agree with you. That's the problem, too. I've lamented this forever. Whenever they get into, like, there's the behind the scenes negotiating is going on in the House over a spending bill. The Republicans, like, well, we don't let the Democrats get this spending they want for this thing. But what they do is they go, well, but we'll get something that we want. Instead of saying, hey, we're not going to get what we want, so they're not going to get, it's always addition, never subtraction. CB Carl said, Sean, don't leave out the fat admirals. Go Navy. So, upcoming semi-pro football team, right? The Fat Admirals. I think they play on Tuesday nights. It'll be something. All right, news coming up next. John Sharp joins us. Vape taxes, pensions, and a whole lot more in his stories.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. The segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Jeff at Stone Arms, Jeff Stone from Stone Arms. Which, by the way, somebody said Red Clay Strays were on Rogan this week, and saw one of the members of the Red Clay Strays in the shop last time I was in there. He was enjoying the selection of, we'll just say, firearms and firearm accessories. Talked about this weekend, so let me bring this back up, because one of my buddies who was shooting my rifle, suppressed rifle, we've talked about how I got my silencer through Jeff and the kiosk there. And he said, hey, wouldn't it be better, because this is something that came up on the show, fair enough, wouldn't it be better to wait till next year, so January 2nd, I guess, although government's shut down right now, we'll see if it's back open, to be able to not have to pay the $200 to get the tax stamp from the feds to be able to get to buy a suppressor, silencer. And I said, well, here's what kind of I've seen in talking to Jeff. He says, what's happening right now, they've got a good selection of these silencers in stock right now, but they are going fast because people are like buying them and putting them on hold, right, until January 2nd when they're going to apply for their tax stamp to be able to have a silencer and not pay the $200. So you still have to go through the mechanism, but $200 is going to be waived coming up in the new year. Problem is, you're not going to have the selection of them come January 2nd, 2026. And on top of that, the wait time, which for me took 2 weeks. After I go in there, I told you it's like 20 minutes on this little kiosk in the store at Stone Arms to get all your stuff sent off. It's really cool. It only took me 2 weeks to get a green light back from the feds. If everybody hits it on January 2nd, it's going to go back to the months and months and months or years wait time to get your green light. So maybe it's a reason to think about doing it now. And if you do the place that I did it and made it so easy, if you've been dreaming about, man, I would like to not have hearing protection on every time I shoot a rifle, all this, well, get it done now. Go to Stone Arms. They are just about a quarter mile west of Snow on Airport, just on the south side there. And go in. The kiosk is right there. You just show up, put your information in, takes your fingerprints, does everything to send off to the feds. Or if you want to see how it works and get any ask questions, go to stonearmsinc.com. That's their website. But go see them at Stone Arms and get this done. All right. Without further ado, let's get to the, as we talk about military commanders, the admiral of the pickleball court, and you know him and love him from AL.com, the crowd goes wild for my friend John Sharp. Hey, John.
Hey, Sean, how you doing?
Good. You've just been dominating pickleball courts in the in Baldwin County area?
It's day to day when it comes to that. As everybody knows who plays this game, one day you feel like you can't lose, and the next day you feel like, oh my goodness, I couldn't beat a beginner. So it's like golf in many ways.
Well, that's what I was thinking. We could get you a trainer, you know, like Tiger Woods had, like the mental coach, so you can envision winning at pickleball. We know you have the mechanics, John, so they could get the snakes out of your head on this, so you could dominate every game on the pickleball court.
Of course, and there's hundreds and hundreds of folks out there in this area that also are trying to find that mental advantage.
Let's so hang out a shingle. That'd be awesome. What do you do? Well, you'd be like at a dinner party. So what do you do? Well, what I do is work specifically with pickleball players and getting in their heads to have them envision the best match of pickleball so they can become the true winners that they are at their core. I might try that.
Pickleball counselor. There you go.
If I'm with a group of people who don't know me, that's what I'm going to do from now on. All right, John, your day job here with AL.com, though, you took on a story that when I saw this first, I think it came up because they were voting on something in Gulf Shores about this. And I said, let me get this right. So you got to vote for a tax at a municipal level, because if you don't, the state's going to get the tax and you won't get any, or something to that effect. You're writing about this, that Alabama City's facing double taxation concerns before a deadline. What is this all about? Today is the deadline, and why are they adding a tax here on vape products?
So it was a mad dash yesterday by cities throughout the state. It wasn't a lot of cities, but there was a few of them, some large ones, Tuscaloosa, Mobile, and Montgomery. The city councils in those three cities all approved an ordinance yesterday to recoup or to claim some of the revenue from been written in the state law as a 10-cent per milliliter tax on vape products, on liquid sold by those who dabble in or sell vape products. Could be your Walmarts or your smoke shops, whatever have you. But that was what the tax was that was approved during the spring legislative session. It was a state tax, 10 cent per milliliter tax on vape products. Nobody really knows how much revenue that means. Nobody really knows what that. How do you measure that? I mean, it's sounds like it's a. There's a very specific way to go about assessing this tax, but
But once again, I mean, everybody's scrambling yesterday, and not, this is me editorializing. You're the journalist here, but it's like this is not a one-off. When laws are passed during session in Montgomery, and then the people it affects, the municipalities, counties, whatever level, they don't communicate with them. Like, it's always a surprise, it seems like, after these laws are passed.
That is correct. That's the frustration that was expressed in Mobile yesterday. Wait a minute, why are we voting on this today when tomorrow is the deadline to pass it? How come we didn't know about this ahead of time? Apparently, there wasn't like some big memo sent out by the Department of Revenue or any other agency indicating that this tax needed to be voted on before the October 1st deadline. Otherwise, you had no chance to vote this tax in before it takes effect, by the way, 1 year from today. So it doesn't take effect until another.
So you have to vote
months.
It. Okay. It doesn't come until the next fiscal year.
That's correct.
So okay.
It's run by the fiscal year. That's correct. Fiscal year ending on September 30th.
So you voted in, but
so there's confusion about, you know, there was, you know, all of a sudden we were being told we got to do this. There was this rush to get it through before the end of the month. And you only had a handful of cities that as far as I'm aware of, that did this. I know Birmingham did not, Huntsville did not. But yes, Mobile, Montgomery, and Tuscaloosa were your three largest cities that voted this in yesterday. And but there's also a kicker in all this as well that's adding confusion to the if we're not already confused.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the fact that this approval, did it actually double tax vape products, meaning the 10 cents that the state approved through this state law that went through in the legislative session goes into directly into the state coffers. I got confirmation yesterday from the Department of Revenue that 10 cents is for the state. That the city can't, the cities like Mobile, Tuscaloosa, Montgomery cannot vote to take that 10 cents away from the state and put it into their coffers, which I think is some of the confusion that's going on with these cities. They think that they can go ahead and vote and then take the revenue for themselves. There is a formula that the state portion of the tax applies to give the money back to the cities like Mobile, Montgomery, and Tuscaloosa, and all the way down to Gulf Shores. It's based on your population. So the revenue that comes in from all the vape product taxation, a 10 cent per milliliter tax that comes to the Department of Revenue, gets divvied back out based on this formula to cities, counties, and of course a certain amount going back to the state. In order to not be part of that, the cities like Mobile have to vote separately on their own tax. According to the Department of Revenue, what the city of Mobile voted on yesterday was actually a double, their own 10 cent per milliliter tax. So the city of Mobile voted on a tax increase yesterday.
But you have to tax it
on vape products.
So municipalities have to tax it to be able to get the money, because if they didn't pass their own, the state's still going to get the money?
That's correct. The state gets the money. The state overrides everything. I mean, the city can't come in and just say, well, we're going to pass this tax, and we're going to take our portion for our city, for the city itself, and not give anything back to the state. The state would not, I would assume, would not support that, knowing the history of the state.
Right, if the municipality did nothing, right? So what's, Sharpeville, Alabama, and y'all just didn't do anything. The tax is still assessed.
That's correct. It still will be 10 cents per milliliter on vape products. That tax is still assessed, but the money sent straight to Montgomery, to the Department of Revenue, which would take that money and send a portion back to the city based on population.
How many vapors are in the city? But if you do this and you vote for it yourself as a municipality, then you get the money.
That's correct, but the question is, if you vote on this, did you essentially add an extra tax on top of the folks that sell vape products? And which would, those that use vape products in your city may be facing higher costs. And
so they're going to pay the state
taxation.
Right, so a municipality that votes for this now, the vape person, somebody going in to get whatever, the vape stuff, they're paying the state tax on it and now the municipal tax on top of it?
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
But if the municipality didn't do it,
they
couldn't get the money. Mm-hmm. You said confusing. Yes, this is confusing. I mean, it's confusing for me, let alone if you're in the business and you're trying to implement this stuff and, you know, it's kind of last minute, or you're a municipality. I mean, look at this.
I know. And it is creating a lot of confusion. I think there's a feeling, at least talking to Scott Collins, the finance, executive director of finance of the city of Mobile, I think there's confidence that this is going to have to be addressed by the legislature in the spring session. There is confusion about this. I know that the counties had also the right to decide whether or not they wanted to recoup this tax for themselves. But I'm not aware of any county that has approved it. It's been the scramble of some of these cities and a lack of clarity. And we're getting some comparisons with the SSUT tax, if you really want to get in the weeds on this thing and how that thing's divvied up. And of course, there's been a lot of criticism from Mayor Sandy Stimson, from Tuscaloosa Mayor Walt Maddox, on how cities, or large cities especially, that where a lot of these sales occur, online sales occur, also vape product sales occur, that, you know, we could get the short end of the stick. I think that's kind of the theory in some of this. And so this could be an intriguing legislative discussion this spring because of this confusion of, you know, what's in it for the cities? What are we talking about here? And what about these vape shops in Mobile versus
a city that did not approve a tax increase or did not approve an ordinance. And so,
because if the state wouldn't have done this, I don't think many municipalities, I don't know what's in their hearts, but if the state hadn't pushed this, I don't think many municipalities would have come up with this on their own. You know, in Mobile, the city of vape shops, it accounts for 20% of the economic activity in Mobile. But I mean, the city hadn't come up with this on their own. They're doing it because, oh gosh, if we don't do it, we don't get the money and the state does.
You're correct. Jeez. Completely correct by that.
Way to go, Alabama.
Been directed through Montgomery. Yeah.
Way to go, Alabama.
And so this is a Montgomery issue that'll be, that'll be back on the agenda, I'm sure, starting in the spring legislative session. I don't know which lawmaker will bring this up. I don't know where this stands. But it's my understanding, I think there's some confidence, at least on the Mobile side of things, that, we're totally confused, or we're not totally confused, but we're confused by this. There's a lack of clarity. It needs to be addressed on the legislative side.
100%. Hey, before we wrap up, too, I just another thing about Mobile City Council, and you have a headline about it, too. So we're going back to this is the thing that was coming, the handover of control of the wave, right? Mobile Transit. And now it says councilor approves pension plan ahead of system operator change. Is that meaning that what? Because the city, people get confused. Like, the city owns the buses, Wave Transit runs the buses, but the city gives money to them. But is the city responsible for the pension here?
The city is responsible for a portion of that, $300,000 approximately per year.
But they don't work. But the drivers don't work. They are not city employees, right?
That's correct. But there is an arrangement that was approved back in 2002. For the city to address, and again, 2002 predates me, and I was just made aware of this yesterday. But apparently, this pension is part of something that's been in place for the city. The city agreed to it as part of switching or entering to an agreement with a private operator to handle the bus transportation, public transportation system for the city. So this was approved back in 2002, this arrangement. The city of Mobile doesn't want to break that arrangement. They just want to kind of keep things as is with the employees who are today officially going from Transdev to Via Transit. We have, officially as of today, a new public transportation operator in the city of Mobile, although the public will not see any changes today or for approximately 9 months, because Via's got to come in and assess the current situation, figure out what would be the right plan for Mobile going forward. I think there's a lot of discussion about, we've gone over this before, but I mean, there's a lot of discussion about smaller buses, more efficient routes, ride share type of, an app-based system, high-tech
trolley
stuff that a lot of other cities are doing. And Spiro Chiriogatis, our mayor-elect, is really big in the trolleys. I want to see where that goes. That's interesting. But that's not part of Via's plan right now. That's not to mean it might not be when the new mayor takes office in November.
Good stuff, John. People could read, of course, these stories over at AL.com. And if they want to get talk pickleball or college football games for this coming weekend, where do they find you online?
At JohnSharp99.
There he is, the Admiral and General and all heads of staff of the pickleball courts, John Sharp. Good stuff, brother. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too.
There goes John, and we'll be right back. More of this show, Midday Mobile, just minutes away after the news. Stand by.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
12:54, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Let me grab some text here. Let's see, Houndstooth up here first. Houndstooth from Mobile. I hear Cameron and his band Wasted Bacon is going on tour with Drunk Scrambled Eggs. That should be cool. You listen to the Wasted Bacon thing. It's really funny. I mean, they put this thing together, he and Matt Murphy. They did a good job. It is pretty good. It's pretty good. It's funny. Yeah, pretty good. Fire Dog says, maybe we need the Biggest Loser military show. Fire Dog, you know how I like throw out ideas here that I think are going to be winners? And I just hope somebody runs with them, because I come up with ideas. I've implemented very few of them over my years. This is one of them we're working right now. That's brilliant. That is brilliant. The Biggest Loser military show. I love it. Let's see. This is unnamed texter. Says, while the shutdown is going on, the Senate Dems are planning a trip to California wine country. Why should we take them seriously? Are they going out doing the Napa thing? Jason said the Hegseth speech was inspirational. It made me want to shave and do some push-ups. Laugh out loud. Who could possibly be against people being the best they can be other than DEI texter? This from Jeff in Spanish Fort. Sean, we could charge $1 to $5 a vote and help pay down the debt. I think whichever of the armed services loses should have to match the amount raised. C.B. Carl said, maybe the ASU honeybees can be the cheerleaders for the fat admirals. I just found out about the honeybees through Dalton and Dan there today. Here's what got me, C.B. Carl, is like, so it's this, the fat dance troupe for ASU, but I heard that they had to be between 230 and 250. Like, I mean, you're talking about a narrow slot limit. That's like fish in some river. They're like, you can only keep rainbow trout between like 14 inches and 16. I mean, that's a very narrow slot. Like, you have to pork up to be on the team, or if you, like, man, I'm 225, I got dance moves. Nope, you got to be 230 to get on the team. let's see here. Michael says, can we get a PSA sharing the shark warning hotline? I don't think it is well known enough to protect everyone from dangerous man-eaters that are literally everywhere in the Gulf waters. Yeah, it's today. You're right, Michael. The shark alert is now law in the state, which means they're going to be having to do the things the legislature told us that we have to do down here. Now, they passed the law, right, in Montgomery. The idea was brought up by a representative from Birmingham. But the cost of implementing, I don't know if y'all realize this, and yes, I know bull sharks can go up the river, but this is borne out by Mobile and Baldwin counties, right? But, you know, once again, just like John talked about too, you get taxes like, get the gas tax. Baldwin County kicks in a bunch of money, goes elsewhere in the state, right? We kick in lodging tax from down here, goes elsewhere in the state. The reason the state got all the money in the Deepwater Horizon deal is because us down here. At the same time, we down here have to pay for the legislation that was brought by people that are not from down here. All right, let's see. LV said, I heard about this vote over a month and a half ago. Which vote are you talking about? You're talking about the vaping tax? So we talked about it some when this went through in Montgomery, and I talked about it about probably 3 weeks ago or so. Yeah, maybe you heard it here, LV. We were talking about it, but it's this idea that, think about this, this is our conservative Alabama government, right? Which I tell you, they're socially conservative, fiscally conservative. Hey, municipalities is what they're saying. As you read through John's story and elsewhere, Erica Thomas had reported on it as well. She and I talked about it last week, that the state's going to impose it. You better impose the tax, municipality, or you're not going to get the money that we're going to get. Like, this tax is going in, but you better do it and get more so you can get some. I mean, way to go, Alabama. Right, 12:58, news coming up. Paul DeMarco joins us here shortly. Got some cool news here for Alabamians and other people. If you're listening from other states and you like to hike, it's good stuff.